Amen. Well, I'm going to try something new this morning. They tell me that this is like a pacifier, and the preacher has to have it, you know. Well, I'm going to try to use both hands this morning in my preaching, and I usually do anyway, but I'm shaking that microphone. But good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. There was something I was going to do last Sunday I want to do today. You might notice that we don't put birthdays in the church news anymore because we were getting wrong information, and we were congratulate them on the wrong day, and we were missing people, and we finally decided that we'd just do it publicly. But by the way, I took that space, and I put a devotion in every week, and so I don't do all of that for nothing. So it's about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and this is, as it's been said, Palm Sunday and Passover coming, and we need to focus on this every week. But for sure, please read that today. But how many are having or have had April birthdays? Would you stand up? Come on. All right, birthdays in April? Looky here. Yeah. See? All right. And anybody with a wedding anniversary in April? Well, look at that. Yes. All right. And I know that David Herndon and his wife are going to have theirs, and they're going to go to Florida and celebrate. So I don't know if they'll be. No, they won't be here next Sunday, I don't think. So, but we congratulate Dave and Krista anyway, and they've been helping out at a church up at where? Will's Point. This is their last Sunday up there. But he had to go up and organize all their sound system and train someone else to do it. But they'll be back with us for sure after. It depends on how long their second honeymoon is, but we'll see. I am so thankful to be with you this morning. I was with you last week. Many of you didn't know it, but I had taken the elements of communion to the hospital with me. And so when the brothers here said, "Now let's eat the bread together," well, I was doing it right there. And now let's drink together. I was doing it right there. So I was with you, and I saw everything up to when the lightning struck the system or something, and I didn't get all of Jason's message. But I did listen to it later. And by the way, all of our messages are online at clhtyler.org under sermons, and you can listen to them again and again if you desire, and so they are there, but we're so glad to be here. I just want to give you like a fresh report. This has been quite a year since last July the 11th, but I want to report that what affected me this time had nothing to do with the past. It had all been cured, and this is a totally new infection, but it's a lesser infection. And so it's not staph or anything like that. And so we are just thankful to the Lord that he's helping us to go through it, and we're adjusting. And it's just really been a wonderful time. There was great things that happened in the hospital. That's a mission field as well, you know. In fact, I had one attendant there, and I was saying something about Reggie that died over there at Rose Valley. And she said, "I live at Rose Valley. I knew Reggie." And I told her about the church. And then another attendant was there and said, "Are that those people that come to the house? My mother lives in Club Lake." Said two girls would come every week and be with her. She always enjoyed that. And then Ro was one of my attendants, and they had been here a few Sundays back and said they'll be back. So God uses us in situations like that. And by the way, I didn't realize it, but I could hear y'all, but y'all could hear me. Now, I was mouthing my words if I said anything, but, you know, the nurses came in, and they were talking, and so they were in our service, too, last week. So David wants to know why we won't live stream for him. Well, I said it has to do with my iPad, you know, and a thing called Tango. But anyway, it was a great opportunity, and I got out late Wednesday night, and we didn't even go home. We just came to church. And I just thank the Lord that he's given me the strength, and we're able to do that again. Now, the message I've got this morning was prepared for last Sunday. And But there are some things that get better with age. You know, like soup. I had a catering business when we had the restaurant and stores in Tyler. And we would go out and cater at Tyler State Park, an event or something like that. And then what they didn't eat, we had it there in the back of my Foss wagon. I really did have a Foss wagon, yellow and white, 65 pickup, long wide bed, you know, $1,700 cash, brand new. Anyway, after we got through, well, I would take all of our helpers and we'd go down the highway to a little park thing. Well, going through there and slushing that barbecue around in there and jumping, oh, it was so much better. It was better the second day. It was the second time. So I trust that the message has grown this week because I've just really been preaching it to myself for 2 weeks. And I thank the Lord that we have a great team. You know, we're like a relay race. And we just hand the baton off and someone else does this, someone else does this. And we've got a great team from ushers to nursery attendants, that's a ministry, to greeters and all the way through food prep and all the things. And I appreciate that. We're a team. And we just are really members one of another. And the Lord kind of showed me something there, and I'm not trying to gross you out or anything today, but and I certainly don't want to discourage Hortensia because, sister, there's 95% success in these surgeries, and that's what they tell me. It used to be only 20% would get infections, but now it's 95% successful. But after the surgery, like especially on the hip, well, that injured leg, they call it, is a little weak for a while, and so you have to do therapy. It's physical therapy. It's not mental therapy. It's physical therapy that you have to go through. And so it gets better, but you have trouble getting your sock on. I have a thing at home. I should come and demonstrate it. You'd just be amazed. But you put the sock on this thing, and then you put it on your left toe, and you pull it up, and it all comes up. It's real simple. But I didn't have that at the hospital. And so here I was, not, you know, you're independent, you know, you are. And you don't want to call the nurse, would you have me put my sock on, please, you know. and so you just try, and you say, I've got to improvise, so I'm not going to do it. But I sat down, and I figured out what I could do. I could put a sock on my right foot, and then I could put it over the left sock, over the right foot sock. And then you could take this toe and you could put it under that a little bit and pull it out and get it on there. And the right leg was helping the left leg. And all of a sudden you had it over your toes. If you get over your toes, you know, it's a little painful, but you can get it all the way up. And the Lord showed me that that's what we've been talking about. This is the year of community and we're members one of another. And as it's already been said this morning, that we help each other. And in true community, if one is cut, the other bleeds. And we pick up that true identity of help to that other person. I can't believe we had 5 people from this church in the hospital at one time. We don't want that to be, I want that to be a record and not a regular. But good to see Dorsey back. And please visit David and Arquilla. You know, a few weeks ago, I looked out at our congregation, and I really began to weep. And that's where this message was born, as I look out. We're called maybe the most unique church in Tyler, and I want to tell you, we're not the only one. We're only a small part of what God is doing. We're part of a larger church that's throughout this city, that's throughout this county, that's throughout this state, throughout this nation, that's throughout this world, and there will be no Baptist in heaven or Methodist either. Did you know that? No Pentecostals either. Because only those that are blood-bought Christians will be in heaven. But I looked out at our congregation and I said this. I said, Jesus loves every one of you. He loves every one of them. He loves every one of them that are here. And that we need to love as Jesus loves. My first scripture this morning is John 13:23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. John said that. John 20, verse 2. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. And then John 21, 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Well, this guy John might have had a problem because he thought he was the favorite one. He said the one Jesus loved. Well, there were 12, and then there were 3, and then there were 500, then there were 120. And then came the book of Acts with the addition to the church, and there was 3,000. But John thought that he was the only one that Jesus loved, or he thought he was special. Now, I have 4 sons, Jody, Milton, Andy, Randy. I mean, I used to say that when I was getting ready to whip. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But back in that day, we could use our belt. They didn't call CPS on us or anything like that. I don't remember ever seeing any red marks on them, but they knew when that belt come off. Jody still says, I can take it. Oh, I hate that sound, you know. Hi, Jody. But my son Andy, the third one, he's pastoring. I told him I was praying for him and I was going to preach about him this morning. He's preaching over at Vineyard in South Tyler today. Andy said one time, I always thought I was my dad's favorite. And even this morning, he said, I am. But he texted me, I am. But he said, I finally realized that the one he's with is his favorite one at the time because they're all special. And you're all special, you see. And I think that was kind of where John was getting this. But the main thing is that he recognized that Jesus loved him. He recognized. And sometimes, you know, we can tell you we love you, but because of the grid that is there and because of the abuse that you've had, you only see maybe a father with a baseball bat hitting you over the head instead of a loving father in heaven or a pastoral team that loves you and cares for you. And as you said, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And sometimes we have to go through it. There's 3 pastors. There's a pastor, and that's everybody in Tyler. There's a pastor in the church. There's the pastor, and that's someone there. But my pastor is someone that you have got confidence in, that they've been there for you in difficult times. They carried you through. You recognize their love. John recognized the love of Jesus. And oh my goodness, does people in this world need to have that love? Do they need to know that someone loves them and cares for them? As in Luke 18, I've been camping there since Christmas because I thought that'd be a good place to go. It's already April. I'm just in Luke 20. But in Luke 18, and all through there, and the Gospels as well, other Gospels as well, we find that as Jesus went, he showed love to people. As Jesus went, he found people. He found a multitude of diversity. There was a diversity that was there, and I think that is God's way. It's God's method, interracial, intercultural diversity. It's a little bit of heaven on earth. There'll be no Spanish church only in heaven because everybody will speak Spanish, of course. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we are a missionary church. Did you know that? Look at this. 1 report from Belize, a prayer of those going. Tom Hill is in Israel and Tina's got a fresh report. She was on a mission this week with Naomi and Mariah because the Bible talks about the islands of the sea. I was on a mission to the hospital. Both had retreats, you know. We had Regina come in. Raise your hand, Regina. Welcome. And Charlotte and I love to go and, yeah. We love to go to the bus station and pick up our new students. And it looked like it wasn't going to be. I said, wait a minute, Charlotte. You leave out the hospital about that time. You go get her. And then it was some help. So let's see, it was Desiree and Andrea came because the bus station was closed, and that's not a real safe part. Oh, it's safe for me. I'll go anywhere. Right, Jason? We'll walk those streets. But sent her down there. So she had a reception of three people telling her that we loved her and welcome, you see. And so we have a missions church that Jack and Pat Hetzel are in Ghana this morning. You see what God is doing? It's a diversity that God is bringing about in this congregation. And I really feel that my message to you today is a defining point of this congregation. This is who we are, and this is where we're going. Can you say that? This is who we are, and this is where we're going. First of all, in Luke 18, Jesus loves the little children. The little children came to him. Here's what David Wilkerson said. David Wilkerson made this statement. I heard it personally in my office. He said, because my dad walked in to give David Wilkerson an offering of $15. Because David Wilkerson was going to speak in our chapel that morning. And my dad walked in with his cane and, Brother Wilkerson, I want to give you an offering. I thought, Dad, you know, Brother Wilkerson gets lots of offerings. But Brother Wilkerson, after he left, he said, you know, we don't have many left like this. Said, when we lose Brother Ravenhill, and that was, you know, about 10 years later, when we lose Brother Ravenhill, these old timers, I don't think we're going to have the same spirit that they had. We need to get it back. I preached last 2-3 weeks ago. Get the fire. Keep the fire going. Take it to the next generation. David Wilkerson said this, if you want to see what kind of character a person has, look at how they treat children and the elderly. If you want to see what kind of character a person has, look at how they treat the little children and the elderly. You see, in Luke 18, people were, verse 15, people were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And you know, we present babies. We don't baptize babies, but we present them to the Lord and pray for their parents. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Don't do that. He's too busy for that. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So we have to get weak and vulnerable and humble and a listener and a believer before we could ever enter the kingdom of God. You see, it was customary for a mother to bring her children to a rabbi to be blessed. These disciples thought that the children were unworthy of the master's time and that it was less important than what he was doing. Someone said, well, we had a revival. We had 12 and a half people saved. And they said, 12 adults and a child? They said, no, 12 children and one adult. The adult had half of his life already gone. And Jody calls it the main service. That's what we said this morning, wasn't it? Upstairs. Jesus welcomed them, saying, this is the kind of faith you need to enter the kingdom. It's that trusting attitude like children have toward adults on whom they depend. I could tell my kids jump, and they would. They'd jump in my arms. They knew I wasn't going to let them fall. I heard about one man that told his child to jump, and he let him hit the ground. He cried and bruised, said, let that be a lesson to you. Don't ever trust anybody. That's abuse. That's abuse. Trusting attitude. We should enjoy prayer as a time of delighting in his company, even as a child enjoys being in our arms. We must find ways of enthusiastically reading God's word and seeking him for help with any problem, relying on him for guidance and trust him explicitly. You see, that's how children are. They do that with the adults that love them. I appreciate the love of the children. John, that's with Patrick and Cindy, came up to me after I got home and said, I was wanting to come see you, but I heard you got out. Listen to that. Listen to that. How much more should we as believers have this kind of love and trust toward Jesus who loves us? He loves the little children. And I believe our church growth comes because of our children's ministry, and we'll add youth to that, Jason. Our youth ministry, they're just kids too. In fact, Charlotte calls all of our students her boys and her girls, you know. Another thing that Jesus did as he traveled is he showed love to those that others despise. No prejudice in Jesus. He showed love to those that others despise. And I thought of the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 30. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So God has chosen these that others despise to come forth and to rise up. I believe that, you know, I began over this month, I believe the 27th, I will celebrate 40 years in prison. I've done more time than any of you. And I coined the phrase that armed robbers make good missionaries. Because they've said, give me a gun, I'll get us some money. And they say, give me a Bible, and I'll take over a country. You see, that God chooses those that others despise to do the greatest work in the kingdom of God. And so we've got to reach out to those that others despise. And as Jesus went, he found a man, well, I called him Zacchaeus, but I didn't know much about Hebrew and Greek. Zacchaeus, they call him, the tax collector, and Jesus. And now this is what I sang in children's church. I used to be in children's church. You got it? Thank the Lord for it. Oh, yeah, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. They changed the words. They did. We said he went to the house of
Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see.
The Savior.
And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today.
Oh, that's a new version. We said, Leslie, we're going to your house for tea. Yeah. If you've been to England, everywhere you go, you get tea. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. I'll try to say it right. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Okay. A man that was despised, but a man of funding. God needs all of those kind in his church. And I'll say that several times as I preach today. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, they had a song back, a country and western, about short people. That was bad. You know, you don't like to be called something. You need just to be called who you are. God loves you as you are. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore fig tree, and we found that tree supposedly in Israel back in October to see him. Jesus was coming that way. So he wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed up in a tree. When Jesus reached the spot, oh, he was omniscient. He knew he was up there. He wasn't hiding. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to murmur. You know what murmur is? Paul Ransberger taught me this. There's a murmur, and there's another murmur, and there's a murmur, and they form a ring, and it's murmuring. And that's where trouble starts in any organization or a church. It's also called gossip, but I won't go there. He's gone to be the guest of a sinner? Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, Lord, I give half my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. It's called restitution. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham, and yet he still needed salvation. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost.
How can we define this church? Well, I told James Walker when we started the church on the 7th of October, 1990, I said, now we're just going to go for the lost. We're not going to take anybody from any other church, and we still don't want to be church robbers. He said, Brother Joe, just minister to those that God sends. But you see, there's a multitude in the out there, multitude. And Jesus was moved with compassion. We saw the multitude. And so there's lost people there of every kind, rich, poor, big, little. The least, the lost, the little, the lonely, the left outs. To finance their great world empire, the Romans had levied heavy taxes on all nations under their control. The Jews opposed this, but were forced to do it. The tax collectors were Jewish by birth, but chose to work for Rome and were considered traitors. It was well understood that they were making themselves rich by gouging their fellow Jews. No wonder why they mutter when Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus. Despite him being a cheater and a turncoat, Jesus loved him and he was converted. See the diversity here? In every society, certain groups are considered untouchables. By the way, you can shake my hand. I'm not contagious, okay? We cannot avoid them. Jesus loves them, and they must hear the good news. Jesus came to save all that were lost. And through faith, the lost can be forgiven and made new, and there can be restitution of the past, and they can become new. It seems that the crowd thought Zacchaeus was a very crooked tax collector, but after he met Jesus, he realized that his life needed straightening out by giving to the poor and making restitution with generous interest to those he had cheated. He showed inner change by outer action. You see, that's what, it's good to have new people come. And we say, come as you are, but go away different. We want to see that inner change produce an outer change, which means that a new love for the Lord, a worship, not just I wish they'd get through so I could go, but a worship, a love for the Word of God, a love for one another, a love for God. And so it's show your faith by change behavior. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We become a changed person. And that's little by little every day sometime. It's called sanctification. It's called discipleship. It's called growth. But we don't want to do the opposite. My dad told the story about a little boy that kept falling out of bed. He'd cry and his dad get up and put him back in. And finally one day he said, Dad, I think I've figured it out. He said, I'm falling out of bed because I'm staying too close to where I got in. So we can't stay too close to where we get in. We've got to grow. Then we can go and we can be there. Jesus continued walking through Israel and finding the people that needed his love. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. I like this scripture because here, he had lost all hope. But when he heard the name of Jesus, who is our hope, he began to say, well, who is it? And he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him, shut up, be quiet. He shouted louder the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped. Hallelujah. He stopped. We've got to stop our own agenda and get into the agenda that Jesus has for us every day. We were at the funeral home yesterday for the first viewing, and Charlotte went in to be with another family that was there. Didn't know them, but we knew that they were hurting. We have to stop. We have to stop. Walmart, wherever it is, we have to stop. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, I want to see. He replied, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. He didn't just say, okay, now I can get on with my life. He followed Jesus, praising God. Miracles can happen in people's lives, and then they will follow Jesus. When all the people saw it, they praised God. You see,
Beggars would walk along the road near the cities to attract the people. Usually disabled in some way, they weren't able to work anymore. They couldn't earn a living. They didn't have any skills. They had a handicap that was there. Medical help was not usually available. And so people tended to ignore their obligation to care for the needy. So they would just beg. Beggars had little hope of escaping this degrading way of life. But this blind man took hope in the Messiah. You got it this morning? You got hope in the Messiah? He shamefully cried out to Jesus' attention, and this faith allowed him to see. You see, Jesus will help the desperate. We have to get desperate. We can call upon the Lord. He called him Son of David. He saw him as the Messiah, yet the religious leaders did not see it. The beggar's helpers rebuked him, and he cried out more and more, begged for mercy, not money. He was healed, and he followed Jesus. Let me tell you about Wednesday nights. When we started the Dinner of Hope, there were many people that would go through the line and eat and walk out the door. But there was something that started holding the people, and now they stay. They stay. If coming, you might say, because they really need that meal, they stay. They stay. Thank the Lord. So we have a ministry to give to the poor, to those that are without funds at the present time, I would say. Psalm 113, verses 7 and 8, it says, He raises the poor out of the dust. I love this. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap. They were gone. They were without hope. That he may set him with princes. God's got a better plan. What does it say, Jason, out there, that we build dreams here? With the princes of his people. And so we believe that those that are despised, those that come in, you know, our people coming from prison, they're homeless that first night, but it's not for long. And it's a time, it's a way of rising up in life and finding a better way to live, a better life. It says with princes of his people, and we can help them do that. We have clothes, we have food, we have friendship, we have advice, we have counsel. Jesus came with good news for the poor. The kingdom of God is only open to those who say, I need help. So when they are at a place of saying, I need help, well, we're here. Jesus is here. Not only for the poor in spirit, but for those that are lying on a pile of burnt out dreams and lost hopes. Can you feel for those people and say, I'm here for you? Lying on a pile of burnt out dreams and lost hopes, feeling worthless, feeling used, and he completely restores your value. When Charlotte went to pick up Regina, well, she was on the phone there with me, and all of a sudden I heard this man that I've become a friend of, that his last step every night is coffee at the bus station. He's a homeless man. And I heard him say, oh, Mr. Foss in the hospital, Foss's barbecue, Foss's fine foods. He's been a Tyler for years. But see, I've made a friend to this man. And we're going to see him lifted up, restored in value. The Salvation Army was once different than it is today. They're still doing the work, and we refer people there. But William Booth was a mighty man of God that loved the people. And they started the Salvation Army with soup, soap, and salvation. Soup for the body, soap to make clean and give better clothes, and salvation for the soul for eternity. Here's what General Booth said. He said, no, we're not volunteers, we're an army. So they became known as the Salvation Army. Here's what he said. While women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry, as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out, as they do now, I'll fight. While there's a drunkard left, while there's a poor lost girl on the streets, and oh my goodness, we've got to do something about this human trafficking. While there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight, I'll fight, I'll fight to the very end. He took his son Bramwell
out on the streets one day. He said, "Son, these are the ones I've given my life for. And it would make your daddy very happy if you do the same." And he died at about age 100, I think, and Bramwell took it on, and it's still going today. We've got to be loving those that Jesus loves. We've got to love God. We've got to love others. We've got to be an outreach to all. And God wants to raise people up. And he wants us to say that we need to have a church where people of means, people of finance can come in. And where that every person, we believe that everyone that comes in can give something in the offering. You know, I pick up pennies because that's the tithe on a dime. And we need to believe that every person that has maybe just rented forever can own a house someday. In the eulogy this afternoon, I'm going to share that Miss Virginia, by the way, would someone with a good camera come and take a picture of this? I want to give it to Facebook and to her daughter. Anybody here? You got one that you can? Oh, yeah, I know you put them on all the time. Okay. Oh, here we come. All right. Get me too. What I was getting ready to say, I think, is that Miss Virginia saved her money. And when she bought her first house, she paid for half of it. And she paid the rest of it out in 5 years. And she owns other real estate. She did not let anything called a handicap hold her back. And she was a giver. She was a giver to this church and to others. And so We want to realize that God wants, Brother Sluder, bless him, Lord, he said we need to prosper so we can live and give. Now, I believe that God believes in prosperity, but it's not for self. It's for the kingdom of God. And we shouldn't change our lifestyle a whole lot if we got $1 million today. Oh, I'd like to do that. I would not buy a Rolls Royce or anything like that. I'd keep driving my used cars, I think. But I wouldn't change my lifestyle, but I'd be able to give. I'd be able to bless. Oh, my goodness. These needs come in from around the world, and we'd be able to bless. And so God wants us to rise up in life. And 3 John 2:4 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And so that's the main thing, is that we grow and we develop as unselfish, God-loving people, generous. "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So what does that word prosper mean? It means to succeed in business affairs. That's what Sister Virginia Ware did. She succeeded in business affairs. She raised a daughter. In her situation, she raised a daughter. They graduated from UT as a teacher, and later in Georgia with a master's degree, going for a doctorate, real estate agent. You see, good stewardship and hard work will bring increase. So we are responsible for everything in our hand. We're responsible. When we talk about faith promise missions, we say, what can you give up? What are you wasting that you could stop so you could give to missions? Good stewardship and hard work will bring increase. We started Calvary Commission with this scripture, Ephesians 4, 28, 29. "Let him who stole steal no longer." One version says steal no more. And some people think you can just steal a little less. "Steal no longer, but rather let them work, laboring with their hands. What is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." 37 years ago, we were given the property at Calvary Commission in Lindale. Did we just snap our finger and it looks like it is today? No, it was with hard work of our ditches. Is Ike here this morning? He is. He still likes to talk about when he had to go back after supper and dig that ditch, you know. But it was with his hands and the hands of the other brothers that used to steal, kill, and to destroy that said, no longer stealing with my hands, but working that which is good. Why? That we may have something to give to him who has had needs. So Jesus had a team of people traveling with him. And probably some of these women that followed along, they had means. And they went into the village and found the food and did whatever they ate. They did to it, and the disciples were fed. And one person they met was Joseph. Oh, I love that name. There's not a bad Joseph in the Bible. Do you know that? John 19:38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. What an honor. A man that had already bought a tomb. I've been there. I've been in it. There's a sign that said he is not here. He's risen. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, resurrection celebration. Every day, resurrection celebration. He came and took the body of Jesus. See, he had prospered to a point that he had means. Not only did he have Jesus, but he had assets that he could use for the kingdom of God. Another was Nicodemus. John 3:1-4, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of process, or it's not a matter of formula of saying this thing called a sinner's prayer. I don't even like that word because people think I can just mutter some words. Oh, God, it's got to be a born again. It's got to be a change of heart. It's got to be true repentance. It's got to be that I am humbling myself before an almighty God and saying I am a sinner. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Then Jesus went on and he found a man called the rich man. Certain ruler, good teacher. What must I do to handle it? Inherit eternal life. Why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. He kind of left out the first four. All these I've kept since I was a boy. He said, you lack one thing. And I won't go through all of this. You know the story. But he said, sell all you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. You see, Jesus knew his heart. He knew what he would need to give up. We have to give our lives. Hortensia, your body belongs to Jesus. You see, it belongs to Jesus. We've given this over in salvation. We've given our lives to him. And yet there was one thing he lacked. He loved his money more than God. Money, it's been said, is a good servant, but a bad master. And so we recognize that Jesus dealt with this man where he was. And the scripture says he went away sorrowful. And anyone that has ever heard the gospel and chosen to go the other way went away sorrowful. I had a young lady that still breaks my heart. Oh, she was freed from a heroin addiction. And she would travel with us. And she would get up and sing something beautiful, something good in all my problems. God understood. And he gave me a new life. And people would weep in the audience. But every time she'd go back to Houston, she'd hit the city limits. She'd be on the phone getting a connection. She'd come back. We'd get her straightened out again. And one day she called me and she said, Joe, I'm leaving. I said, no, Mary, let me come talk to you. She said, you don't understand, I'm leaving God. 3 weeks later, I got a phone call from her mother that they found her dead, needle in her arm, overdose. You see, anybody that's ever left God, anybody that's ever rejected the call of salvation, they go away sorrowful. They go away sorrowful because we've got the best thing anybody could ever have. It's called salvation in Jesus Christ. He went away sorrowful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. as I have loved you, that you would love one another. So the great commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that fulfills the law. Davion, would you come? You see, what I've endeavored to do this morning is to portray the diversity of people that God has called us to. And if this church is going to show love, a friend of mine, a Hispanic brother, a pastor, he told me, this other gringo pastor don't like Mexicans. I said, did he say that to you? He said, no, but I can tell. People can tell. But when we have the love of God in our heart, when we've been to the altar of salvation, when we have had that transformation in our lives to where that we no longer live a life for self with an agenda that is, don't interrupt me, I've got my own plan, and we're open, then God's going to send the increase, and it's going to be the poor, it's going to be the rich, it's going to be the givers, they all need to be givers, it's going to be the hurt, it's going to be the destitute, it's going to be people with burnt out dreams, and we're going to see that restored because we're going to be a group of people that 100% of us is going to show love. And we're going to show it in our actions, we're going to show it at their door, Jason, we're going to show it on the streets. We're going to show it at the schools. We're going to show it at Sought Out. We're going to show it everywhere. We're going to show it in our children's church. We're going to show it on Wednesday night. I ask you to do the same thing I did. Look around and say, does Jesus love these? Can I love them as Jesus loves? Can I love people as Jesus loves? You see, there's even a prejudice against the educated. There's a prejudice against the landlords. There's a prejudice against... There's a prejudice against the wealthy. Oh, I don't know how to act around them. They're just people that need help. God has given me favor with my surgeons and my doctors. We're almost on a first name basis. Should be, as long as I've been going to them. But I'm not inhibited by them because... they're no different. They're just a soul reaching out for help. If they don't know the Lord, they're a blind man saying, I need to receive my sight. Stand with me, please. I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask Davion to sing this song that he sang on Wednesday night. And I'm going to open the altars. And I want you to come and... if you want to just kneel by yourself, or if you need someone to pray with you, or whatever. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're blind like the beggar. But you need to come as a beggar saying, I need Jesus in my life. I need to be born again like Nicodemus did. I need help. I need hope. I want a new life. And you may be here this morning and you've kind of felt a little reserved. Well, can't we just have a normal looking church? Can't we just be like other churches? The answer is no. We're unique and God has called us. And it's happened in 1990 and it continues to 2014 and it will be our future. Hallelujah. Father, I pray this morning that you touch hearts in all of these areas I've called out this morning. And oh God, that you would be there, Lord Jesus. You'd be there to touch people this morning, oh God. That we would be able, oh Lord, to receive the word of God that's been given today, oh God. And Lord, that you're no respecter of persons. And God, that everyone is welcome to your kingdom. Lord, give us a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Lord Jesus, give us understanding, Lord. God, help us to bring, to be a bridge out of poverty. And to see people rise up in life, not for selfish reasons, but for a better life, for a healthier life, to be useful in the kingdom of God. And let us all be one, members one of another, Lord. Help us put that sock on, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, we pray. Touch our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Yes, hallelujah. As he sings, if you want to come to the altar this morning, the altars are open. Yes, Jesus.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Hallelujah. Probably need to get saved. Jesus,
set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. 'Cause I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. And I want more.
Thank you, Father, for such an amazing message. Thank you, Brother Joe, for sharing your heart with us this morning. You know, as Joe was sharing, you know, the Lord does want to use this body, this church here, but it's going to take all of us, amen, not just a few of us, not just some of us, but all of us working together for His kingdom, amen, for what He has for us. And the Lord just reminded me, you know, that those who want to be great in God's kingdom must be a servant to all.
That's right.
If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you've got to be a servant to all. I remember the story that Joe was telling about Brother Ike. Brother Ike came to Calvary Commission years ago and was digging ditches. And he said, God didn't call me to dig ditches, did he? That's what Brother Ike said. But my brother was obedient for all that time, all those years. And God, he dug them ditches. He dug those ditches with a smile on his face, amen, in obedience. And God has raised him up. See, I've never known anybody, not even through the Word of God, that has ever just rose just to greatness and started out that way. But every individual, Joe, didn't start out with Calvary Commission and all that land and everything else. But it's for those of us who are willing to get down into the trenches, who are willing to get down and do the dirty work, the stuff that nobody else wants to do. David said, I would much rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to share in all the things in the greatness of this world. Jesus said that we can't do this thing the way that the world does it. We want to lord over people and kick everybody else down while we fight our way to the top. But that's not the way that we do servanthood. That's not the way that we achieve greatness in God's kingdom. And we got to be willing, of people who are willing to say, you know what? It don't matter. I'll come here and I'll serve these little kids on Wednesday nights. I'll serve them food. I'll watch over them. I'll pray with them. I'll come in here and scrub the urinals. I'll sweep the floors. It doesn't matter. It's just all of us getting in and doing what God has called us to do. Because I know, like Joe said, that this is a unique church, but we're no different from the rest of the body of Christ. We're one. But I know that God wants to use this fellowship, this body, in a mighty and great way. But again, I think this word this morning was for each and every single one of us. It was for me to remind me that I'm nothing, man. I'm absolutely nothing. I am a sinner simply saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's all we are. And to remain humble before the mighty hand of God and just be willing to say, God, I'll do whatever, Lord. I told the Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. It doesn't matter. If this was all stripped away from me, every single thing, and I was just called to pick up every scrap of piece of paper on this floor, and that was it, I would do it. Do we have that heart this morning? We got to have that type of heart that would be willing to do anything, to go to any lengths to seek God's kingdom, because it's about Him. It's not about me. It's not about this church. It's about His church, and it's about what He's doing. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
We were invited this morning from Wisconsin with Luke Bitzner coming back. And I think you should shake his hand even though he didn't bring me any cheese. And like Jason said, if you'd like instructions of how to get to the funeral, we would like to give them to you so that we might be able to go and honor our dear sister today. Would you take a breath and then say, I receive what God has given me from 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock today? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stretch your hand this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you His peace. En español, el mismo, la protección, la bendición del Señor. La protección del Señor. Let's go and do something about what I preached this morning. Diversity. Go and find that one. Find that one. Serve somebody. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Come back Wednesday night. God bless you. Thank you.